With the help of God, for this evening's meditation hour, let us find and read together from the Gospel according to St. Luke from chapter 13. Let's read first 22 verses. St. Luke chapter 13. Let's read first 22 verses to God's honor and glory. Sveto evanđelje po Luci, glava 13, prvih 22 stiha. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that there were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumber it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed down, or bowed together, and in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her unto him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then said he, Unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast it into his garden. And it grew and waxed a great tree. And the fowls of the air lodged in it, in the branches of it. And again he said it, Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. May God bless the reading of his word. Let us all kneel before him in prayer. I don't think there's a chapter, especially in the New Testament, that was not read in the church or at home. The New Testament is very familiar to all of us. We read it often, perhaps every day. We have salvation in this book, in the New Testament. as God has sent his only begotten Son, who came down on this earth to die for our sins, to redeem us, to save us, to give us everlasting life. God's word is like the fountain of crystal, flowing down from heaven as we read and sang this evening hour. Fresh, pure water, the living water, the word of God. And I hope and pray that it is pleasant in our heart, that we accept it, that we enjoy it, that we seek it. This chapter here, the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 13, it starts out with some Galileans that came to Jesus and they told him of a disaster that happened. It says that there were some Galileans whose blood the Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. It does not say anywhere about this incident. Even the historians did not write anything about it, but it says in it that it happened, so it did happen. There's so many things that happened in those days that not everything was written. But perhaps these people thought that because these Galileans suffered like that they must have been evil. They were sinners, great sinners. But Jesus tells them, he says, no. They were not the greatest sinners of all just because they suffered like that. But he tells them, he says, but except you all repent, you will perish the same way. You will die in your sins. There's no difference. And then he says here another example. He tells them, those 18 upon whom the tower up in Siloam fell and slew them. Again, this is not written anywhere else. But there was a tower, and we know that in those days they built many towers, and perhaps it wasn't safe, and it fell down, and it crushed the people that were around it. They died. So again, to people in those days, if someone would die such a way, they would think that they were great sinners. This was a punishment upon them. We know the story in St. John chapter 9. It's mentioned often about the man that was born blind. So people right away asked Jesus, who sinned? Whose fault is it? They even mentioned, is it his fault? How can it be his fault? He was born blind. But they even blamed the man that he sinned and he was born blind. How can someone sin and be born? But they were so persuaded that someone had to do something very wrong to be born blind, or as these people that died, that were crushed by this big tower. It's someone's fault. They were great, great sinners. And again, Jesus tells them, I tell you, nay. I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Same thing. Doesn't matter which way people die. If one does not repent, what happens to him? He will perish. There's no everlasting life. We know that we will all die. Now, which way, we do not know. And we do not need to know. It doesn't matter. We all would love to just die peacefully at old age when we had enough of life, as Job says, that he died in old age. He had enough of life and he died. I am sure we would all like to die the same way. And maybe many of us would wait a short time before we would die to seek out God. We do not know when our time will come. The important thing is to repent every day. For those of us that made a covenant with God, can we say, well, we repented back then, we were done repenting? We need to repent every day. Apostle Paul said, I die daily. We have a lot to repent from, even those of us that made a covenant with God. We make mistakes every day. We offend God many times. We disobey Him many times. But Jesus here is telling these people about the true repentance from the very beginning, for the sinners that need to repent, need to change, need to have that godly sorrow. If they do not repent, they will all die the same way. Not by being crushed by the tower or as these Galileans died, a worse death. Jesus says not to be afraid of those that can kill the body. And there's nothing else they can do. There's nothing more they can do. But fear the one that can kill the body and throw in the hell. That's what the repentance is all about. To repent, to change so that we will not go to hell. That everlasting damnation. You know, I've seen, and there are still those signs out by the freeway. It says, where are you going, heaven or hell? There's a sign. It's a good question. There's nothing in between. There's no such thing as, well, I'm not going anywhere. I don't believe in God. When I die, that's it. There's no such thing. It's either heaven or hell. That's the question everyone needs to ask themselves, especially those that did not repent. Where are you going? You're going somewhere. We're all going somewhere. We will all die sooner or later, this way or the other way, natural death, any which way. It doesn't matter. What happens afterwards is what matters. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. These are words of Jesus Christ. So there is no other way. Repentance is the only way. To repent, to change, live a different life. Get rid of the old life. Walk with Jesus. But in order to walk with Jesus, you cannot hold hands with Satan. You have to hold hands with God. And walk with Him, obey Him, follow Him, believe in Him, love Him. Then He spake a parable. He says, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and he sought fruit thereon and found none. We all know, those of us that have fruit trees, what's the purpose of a fruit tree? To find fruit on it, to enjoy it, to use it, to eat it. It says he found no fruit on the tree. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbered it the ground? 3 years there was no fruit on the fig tree. We all seen the trees that do not bear fruit. What's the purpose of the tree? It doesn't look nice. There's no fruit on it. No use for it. What do you do with it? You cut it down. You make room for the fruit tree that will bear fruit. God is looking after the repentance. When someone repents, changes, receive the Holy Spirit, becomes a child of God, one needs to bear fruit. The spiritual fruit, the fruits of the Spirit. We can read it in Galatians chapter 5, which are the fruits of the Spirit. Well, let's read it. I know we know it. It's always good to be reminded. Galatians 5, chapter 5, starts on verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are the fruits of the Spirit that we need to have, all of us, in order to have that everlasting life. Notice how it says here that 3 years there was no fruit. Jesus, God, is being patient. We know the young tree cannot bear a lot of fruit. But even the young tree can bear some fruit if it's healthy. If we're healthy spiritually, we can bear fruit. And we need to, and we should. If we do not bear fruit, then we're not spiritual. Then we're not healthy. Then we're all dried up. What will happen to us if we do not bear fruit? We will be cut down too. No use for it. No use for the tree that does not bear fruit. There's a lot of patience here. It says 3 years and nothing. And the dresser of the vineyard said, Lord, let it alone this year also. One more year, more patience, more grace, more mercy. One more year, 3 years. If we had a tree that was not bearing any fruit for 3 years, I don't think we would wait even 3 years. We would cut it down probably first or second year. He said, let it grow one more year. Said, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Put some fertilizer, dig around it, take care of it. And if you bear fruit, well, fine. Then it's good. The tree has come back to life. If not, you cut it down. How long do you leave a tree that does not bear fruit? How many years? Then he continues on, he says, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on Sabbath. You know, Jesus was rejected by Pharisees and scribes, and still here he was able to go into a synagogue and preach and teach. He had the power, he had the authority. He said, behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. 18 years, it wasn't just a natural sickness. It says that she was bound by Satan, spirit of infirmity. That's not from God. This is from Satan. We know that there were many that were possessed with devil that Jesus healed. There were some that had unclean spirit, which is the same thing. This woman was, her back was crooked. She couldn't stand up straight. 18 years. That's a long time. Jesus saw her, and he called her to him, and he said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Now, I'm not sure. Doesn't say she heard about his fame. Did she know about him? But she came to synagogue. She had a perfect reason not to come to church or synagogue. She was ill. She couldn't walk. If she was able to walk, she was bowed down. She couldn't even look up, see the stars. So Jesus calls her. And he says, woman, you are loosed from thine infirmity. And then it said that he laid his hands on her. Perhaps she had a little hard time in the beginning. I don't think she realized what he meant by that. He did not say, you were healed and now stand up and walk straight. He had to help her a little bit, laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. And what did she do then? Glorify God. My friend, perhaps you've been going to church for 18 years, maybe more, maybe a little less. Until you find Jesus, you will not be straight either. Until you're loose from that infirmity that you have, you will not be walking straight. It doesn't matter how many years we come to church. It's finding Jesus. Answering to his call. You know that it wasn't that long ago where we read about the Greek Syrophoenician woman that had a daughter that was that had a devil in her. And Jesus was trying to hide himself in a house, one of the homes, because people were constantly after him for different reasons, to accuse him, to be fed. She found him. She was seeking him. You know, Jesus is always there for you, my dear friends, but you have to seek him out. You have to find him. Don't just sit and say, oh, he'll come to me if he wants me. You need to seek. As the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And God is never far from us. He's always near. He's close by. You just have to find him. You have to seek him. You have to pray to him. So he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. I'm reminded of the story in Acts, I think it's chapter, right in the beginning, chapter 3. Give me a moment here. When Peter and John went to temple, the hour of prayer, and there was a man that was lame from his womb. He was born that way. And, of course, he was looking up to them and expecting some money. That's what he needed to survive. He couldn't work. So we know the story is, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he said that he took him by his right hand. Very similar story as we just read. As Jesus touched her, Peter had to grab him by the hand to lift him up. When you were born blind or lame or you have infirmity for 18 years, and someone tells you, in those days, even this man that was lame did not really know about Jesus. Maybe he heard of his fame and his glory, but did not know. And someone tells you, stand up and walk. Straighten yourself up. That's not the first thing we would do. We would have a little doubt. 18 years, I was walking the way I was walking crooked, being bowed down, and all of a sudden I'm supposed to straighten up, stand up. Needed a little help. Even though they had faith, obviously they had faith, but perhaps he wasn't as strong. They needed a little help. As Peter helped this man with the, he says, took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And what did he do? Glorify God. When we are healed, we need to glorify God. If we are healed spiritually, definitely we need to glorify God. She was very happy and glad, joyful, after 18 years being whole, being able to walk as everyone else. She glorified God, but there was someone that was not happy. The ruler of the synagogue, he says here that he answered with indignation, was very angry, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. You notice how it says here, and he said unto the people, he's not even facing Jesus Christ, the one who healed this woman. He's not even facing him. He's answering the people, trying to get people riled up against Jesus. He said to the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed. Was he able to heal anyone? Of course not. He was a ruler of synagogue, faithful man, right? He wasn't able to heal anyone, let alone this woman that was bound by Satan for 18 years. And yet he has something to say. That's how these rulers, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees were. They could not stand the Son of God. They wanted to be something. They wanted to have the power, and yet they had none. 6 days in which men ought to work. Would he be okay if Jesus healed them on some other day? He would probably be filled with indignation just as much as he was on the Sabbath day. They had no zeal for God. They had no faith. They had no love. They could not accept that this man, being born as a carpenter in a stall, that he was the Son of God, the Son of a mighty God. So Jesus, he's answering not the people, but him directly. He calls him hypocrite, two-faced. That not each one of you on the Sabbath, the same day, loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Of course they did. All of them did. They had animals. Those animals needed to survive so they can work for them. They needed them, so they would take him to water, to the place where they would drink water, and they would feed him. Didn't matter if it was Sabbath or any other day. That's why they were hypocrites. They cared more for the animal than they did for the people. Those were not the people of God. And then he says, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, she was a Jewish woman, whom Satan had bound low, he says, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries, all those that were against him, they were ashamed. And they should have been. But the people that believed, that saw the miracle, it said that they rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then he continues and speaks about the kingdom of God. He says, Then said he unto, what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? He's trying to explain to the people about kingdom of God. He's giving them an example. He says, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast it into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree. We know the mustard seed is very small. It's one of the smallest seed from all the herbs. But when you throw it in the garden, it's very small, but it becomes very, very great and big. And it grows very fast. That's how the kingdom of God is. It starts out small. It's planted in our heart, in our mind, in our soul. And then it becomes very great. If we accept it, if the ground is good, then our heart must be as a good ground, not a stony ground, not full of thorns. The seed cannot fall by the wayside. It needs to fall in the good ground. How can we have a good ground? We need to prepare it. How do we prepare our heart? By ourselves? Through prayer, with God's help. We need to seek out God. I just read last Sunday from the First Chronicles chapter 22 where David wanted to build a house for God. And God did not allow him to build it, the temple. He said that his son will build it. And David prepared all the lumber for his son to build the temple. He said, my son is young and tender, and the temple that is to be built must be magnificent, full of God's glory. So he had to help his son to prepare all the lumber to build the temple of God. My dear friend, you might need help too to prepare your heart for the kingdom of God. How do you prepare it? As I mentioned earlier, through prayer, fasting, seeking God, believing in God, reading from His holy word. Prepare your heart. Then that seed, the small seed, can be planted. I'm sure we all planted seeds before in the ground that was not prepared, that was not watered. What happens to the seed? It just stays the way it was planted. It doesn't become any herb or fruit or any plant. So the ground, the heart must be prepared. Then he gives another example here. Also about the kingdom of God, it is like the leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. There's much to be said even about these two verses here, but time has gone. And I hope and pray that even these few words that I was able to speak in my weakness, and we know that when we read from God's word, even if we wouldn't say anything, it would be a powerful message. Just by reading the words that are written in red, that were written by that were said by our Savior and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We read them, close the book, not say a word, it would be the most powerful message. Because these are the words of our Savior and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And to Him be all the glory, honor from all of us, now and forever. Amen.
Ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, Jesus says. So, who is he speaking to today here? He speaks to all of us. He speaks to all of us that we would really look into our hearts to see, is there something that we need to repent of? Because if we recognize that we have failed, that we have sinned, that we have lived in a way that does not reflect Jesus Christ. He says, except you repent, you will perish, just like these others. And then that's what brings the discussion about the fig tree again. This is a fig tree that it does not have the fruit that the master has a right to seek for. And the chance and the opportunity is being given. This is the cultivation period. The nation of Israel was what they were sent prophets and princes. They were sent continual warnings. There was continual rejection of those things, and the curses that came upon them was because of a rejection and a refusal to repent. So for us, dear ones, every one of us here has to realize that when we read the word, we don't read it in a way that we have attained, that we are now perfect, but rather that we would rejoice in the fact that Jesus has so much love and mercy and compassion for us that he warns us and he brings us to himself and he calls us unto him. But he gives us warnings. Except you repent, you're going to perish. So what is it in this life that is keeping me from repenting? What is it in this life that is keeping us from being able to bring forth the fruit? What is it? Is it worth it? Because life is short. It's going to be over. You know, these things that we read about, you know, Jesus goes into the synagogue. He sees this woman. This woman didn't come to be healed. The Pharisees later said, you know, come and be healed other than the Sabbath. She didn't come to be healed. She came because Jesus was, what he saw in her was the faith that he saw that Abraham himself had. She had faith. She came there to worship God. And Jesus healed her. And so, dear ones, our faith is what's going to save us. But a faith that conforms, that is in the mold of the doctrines of Jesus Christ. We need to be poured out into that. And so let's examine our lives. Let's examine ourselves and our hearts and what is it that we need to repent of. And let's not brush it aside, but we will perish if we don't. And so the warning goes forth, and dear ones, let's with prayerful hearts, with hearts uplifted, look to our Lord that he would reveal himself to us, reveal ourselves to us in the light of his word, so that we would repent, because he is full of mercy and compassion and desires to pour out his mercies upon us. He delights in that. He delights to forgive and to give us his mercy. May he bless his word upon each of our hearts this evening. Amen.